Well, the NFL is as unpredictable as ever. Doesn't make life easy for us fantasy football players, does it? We're going to be reacting on the podcast to all things good and bad in week four. Return of the Jacuzzi of Concern as well. It's getting to that point in the year where we need to get some temperature checks on some players. As always, we're going to be looking forward to the week ahead with the players that you're going to be wanting to put in your lineup. It's In the Pocket Across the Pond, the UK-based NFL fantasy football podcast. Me, Alex Brindle, joined as always by the other Alex and Lewis. A lot of high-scoring games this week. Finally, when I was scrolling through all the players this week, lads, it looked better. It looked better. A lot of guys getting the projection, scoring sort of near 20 points, stuff like that. It was a good week. Good week, a lot of good games. I want to start with probably the best game of the week, I would say. The Vikings hanging on to beat a resilient Green Bay team, 31-29. This game was gone. This game was completely gone, and then Green Bay clawed it back within reach. I will say, you know, Vikings 4-0, looking great. They did only beat the Packers by 2 points, and the Packers had 4 turnovers and 2 missed field goals, and Jordan Love was very rusty coming back. So if you were to give me this game again later in the season, I'm still taking the Packers. Very down note on a team that's 4-0, but Sharples, what do you reckon of this one?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it looked a little bit Baltimore Ravens-esque, like getting up to that big lead and nearly slipping it, but they got the job done. I mean, it's one of them. You get up to such a big lead, it's inevitable that you take your foot off the gas. And, you know, the Packers are a good offensive team. I mean, before Jordan Love went down in that first game, like they looked pretty lively. They got some good pieces. So, yeah. No, I mean, obviously, if you're a Vikings fan, you'd rather win that by 20 points or whatever. But got there in the end. Sam Darnold looks as consistent as ever,
yeah,
like we were talking about last week. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I thought it was fine.
What do you reckon about Jordan Love in this game, Al? Like, obviously he's easing into it, but then at some point you just had to make it. You know, he had to let it rip, and let it rip he did.
Yeah, I mean, you're very happy if you're kind of like a Jaden Reed owner, or you want to pick up Dontavian Wicks on the waiver wire. This offense has just got like a massive boost, as we saw from this game. Like you said, Luke, it was pretty rusty early on, but I think we all know now that Jordan Love is the guy. No one was worried that maybe he's lost it in the 2 weeks that he missed. No, he looked mint the first game of the season. He looked mint in this game. And yeah, it's one of those where people probably want to credit the Vikings' defense still, even though they kind of let the Packers back into it. But Jordan Love looked mint, yeah.
That's true. Answer me this, both of you, at the same time, if you could. Are the Commanders legit?
No.
I'll rephrase.
Is the Commanders' offense legit?
No.
No?
No, because the offensive coordinator is Cliff Kingsbury, and they've still kind of got nobody's wide receiver and some nice running backs, but no one that's like unbelievable. I just think the quarterback is fantastic.
I mean, 42. Personally. Yeah, 42 points against the Cardinals. Cardinals isn't a great defense, but you put up 42 points any game, and we're going to be talking about it. Putting up points at will at the moment, I'd say. Sharples, I'm going to ask you this because I'm sure you're going to take pleasure in saying this. Are the Commanders the best team in the NFC East right now?
Well, they're certainly better than the Dallas Cowboys, because who isn't? No, they're not. They're just not. It's been, you know, 3 good games, but Al's right. It seems because of Jaden Daniels. There's the argument that, you know, is the quarterback the offense, and so therefore it's a good offense. I think it's just been 3 really good displays by Jaden Daniels. I still, I know the Eagles have looked really shaky defensively, but I think I still rate them. Cowboys are always going to be good, as much as it pains me to say it. I mean, not in the playoffs, obviously, but regular season. They're certainly better than the Giants, though. So, yeah. You know, you can take that one.
When you said the Eagles have been I thought it was going to be another sh word, but it was shaky.
No.
It was shaky. Cool.
I think I already blew my one for the year on your Cooper Cup mishap.
Cooper Bleep.
Cooper Bleep.
Disappointing display by the Cardinals, though. There's some stuff to figure out for that team. The Ravens, hands up if you saw this one coming, dominating the Bills. 10-35. It's like that thing. I feel like every year for the past few years, it gets to about week four and we're like, who's good? Because teams who who dominate other teams get blown out. You know, the Ravens lost to the Raiders just a couple of weeks. Like, what? Who's good? What's going on?
This with these two teams as well happens every year. The Bills will kind of shut down for a week or two. The Ravens will blow people out. Not anything that I don't think we've not seen before. I mean, obviously it was unexpected. The Bills have looked really good, but they look really good every year. They stall at some point in the year, every year as well.
Do you two know the specific number of rushing yards Derrick Henry had in this game?
I want to say it was... I feel like I glanced at it when I woke up on Monday morning and it was something like 189.
Shapples?
I think it was a smidge higher. I think it was 2.3 million.
It was 199 rushing yards.
So,
and he had 10 receiving yards, so over 200 yards from scrimmage for one guy. Not just a guy, obviously. Derrick Henry is still... He's showing us week in, week out that he's maybe he is still... That he looks better than he did last year.
Yeah, I think with this now, for me, I'm seeing a bit of a trend. I suppose it sounds obvious, but like, for example, I remember I was a McCaffrey owner when he went from the Panthers to the 49ers. I remember having a conversation with you guys and saying, like, obviously, yeah, he's going to a better team, but like, he does everything on this Carolina Panthers offense. Like, is he going to be as good? And obviously, he was mint. Saquon Barkley, I was worried about him. He has been helped by the fact that AJ Brown and Devontae Smith have been out, but looks amazing. And now Derrick Henry. So I feel like now if we get another situation where a superstar running back goes to an actually good team, probably better to back them.
Yeah. Mm. I think, you know, it's easy to sort of try and not buy into stuff like that. But I feel like that's more of a thing for wide receivers. I feel like there's more of a history of, you know, wide receivers going to new teams, it not quite working out. As you're saying, recent history with running backs, it sort of has worked out. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Saquon Barkley. The Eagles offense is struggling, though. Lost to the Buccaneers, 16-33. The Buccaneers are a good team, but wow. Wasn't it like, how many yards of offense did the Eagles have at halftime? Was it like nothing? Something needs to be figured out there, because we thought it would be new coordinators, you know. But I don't know. You still got a head coach on the hot seat there, I would say. Monday night games. Jared Goff and the Lions beat Seattle in style, not because of the new uniforms, because a little trickery. Jared Goff almost high stepping into the end zone. Did you see that? The Amon-Ra St. Brown pass to Goff.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was nice.
Sort of handily beat a 3-0 Seattle team. That was a good win for the Lions. Sort of the offensive performance that I think a lot of people wanted to see from them. Speaking of offensive performances that a lot of people wanted to see, the Bengals won 34-24 versus the Panthers. It sort of was that game that we were all hoping it would be as well. A lot of scoring in there, Sharps. I know you put this quite controversially in the great category, but it was a good game.
Yeah, I mean, it was... You know, one of them, it was either going to be a super high scoring game or it was going to be a ridiculously low one. They look good. I mean, took the Bengals from memory a little bit to get going, and then suddenly there was that Jamar Chase 64-yard touchdown where he did all the work, although as a Joe Burrow owner, I wasn't complaining. And then that sort of, kicked him into gear. Yeah, they looked good. The running game looked better. Both Zach Moss and Chase Brown were playable. As a Zach Moss owner, I am worried because Chase Brown does look the sharper of the two, but you know, Moss was still getting work. They trusted him on that, on the little throw out, and he got it into the end zone. So still think you can play them both. I mean, in a dream scenario, obviously one of them goes down injured and you've got the other one, and then bam, you know, you've probably got a stud for however many weeks. But yeah, it looked good, but you know, we can't get too excited. The Bengals have looked awful, and this was the Panthers. So I think we need to see I want to see 5 more weeks of the Bengals looking like this before I can start, you know, backing them.
Well,
because we've seen this before too many times.
Yeah, if trends in the league are true, then the Bengals are going to absolutely blow out the Ravens this coming week. Joe Flacco came in for the injured Anthony Richardson, chucked a couple of touchdowns, made sure the Colts could hang on to a win versus the Steelers, 24-27. Another one of those games that you didn't necessarily expect to be high scoring, but the points were there to be had. That was a sneaky, sneaky good one there. The Browns are bad, the Jets are bad, the Dolphins are bad, and the Jaguars are 0-4. Impressive victory, Al.
Let me just pull my sheet up.
Get the sheet up.
there's a few for each category this week. Based on what I said about the Commanders at the start, I think I'm going to have to go the Ravens this one then. Kind of getting in a bit of a groove now. Completely dominating teams like with the defense and the run game. Unfortunately, that isn't spelling amazing things for the passing game, which I'm sure we'll get into, but I'm going to say the Ravens.
Yeah, Sharples?
I went for the Buccaneers. Thought they were really good offensively. I think if you've got offensive pieces in that team, you're really happy with them. And Eagles are limited by injuries, they kept Saquon at bay pretty much, apart from that big run that he ripped off. So I thought it was a good overall performance.
Yeah, I went with the Lions just because of the swagger of that the victory. I thought it was a really good game, a lot of fun watching that Lions team last night. Not buying it, win, Al.
I'm going to go a couple for this one again. I'm going to go the Titans, though. I think they played a very poor Miami team, and Will Levis is terrible, and Mason Rudolph isn't much better. The Titans.
There also was, watching the highlights, there was a play where Will Levis sort of dove for the first down, which, again, I think makes a really funny meme picture. So he's 4-4. This is a historic run of funny pictures. Sharples not buying it, Win?
I went for the Raiders. Sneaking past the Browns 20-16. This offense, I really thought that, you know, Gardner Minshew looked quite good last year. He propped up Michael Pittman last year and a couple of other receivers, but hasn't clicked. Devontae Adams wasn't there, and yet still Bowers had his second bad game in a row. Jacoby Myers got very little, and the run game, I mean, I really thought Zamir White would just step into the hole left by Josh Jacobs, and he really hasn't.
He's been horrendous.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, Mattison, obviously, not much better. So I just, yeah. And then you couple that in with, you know, what the stuff that Antonio Pierce was saying last week, and his Devontae Adams unhappy, and it's, yeah. And then they play the Broncos next week, and I could just see them scoring 3 points because the Broncos have been shutting people down, to be fair.
Devontae Adams to the Chiefs, I'm hearing you loud and clear, Sharples.
Wouldn't mind.
Interesting not buying it, because we've all gone different. I've gone the Bears, just because I don't think when the Bears play an offense where all the players are injured, i.e. the Packers and the Vikings, like they're good, like they have to do twice this year. I don't think they'll stand a chance, really. They can't hold up on that defense all year. So I went for the Bears. And the worst team in the league, Al?
The worst team in the league is the Jaguars.
Yeah.
The Jaguars. Gotta be.
Sharples.
I've gone the Dolphins. I just don't see how they win a game without, you know, until Tua comes back. They've got some absolute Ferraris in that offense, but can't drive them, lost the keys.
I'm going to go the Dolphins as well, Sharples. I just, like you, I just can't see how this team wins a game without Tua. It just, all those pieces of that offense to unlock, they're just sealed away in a vault. It's crazy. Speaking of crazy good, Derrick Henry, as we mentioned, 199 rushing yards, 35.9 fantasy points. Wow, amazing game. Ken Walker with 3 touchdowns in the Seattle loss. I thought that Detroit defense was meant to be a pass funnel. They were meant to be the best against, but that. Listen, I mean, I'll get into Ken Walker later on in the episode, but yeah,
Lou,
maybe matchup proof.
Lou, you cut this out to just give like a sneak peek behind the curtain. You cut this out because you were talking about a stat that you read about the Dolphins maybe not winning or not being up in a game, but you thought, oh no, they won a game. The stat must be that they haven't been leading a game yet in regulation time, because I believe that they beat the Jaguars first week, field goal, time expired, so they've not actually been leading a game yet all season.
That's it. Like, that's the stat.
Like, when the clock's been ticking.
That's the stat that I butchered and edited out of the podcast. That's correct. Yes. Nice one, Al.
It's okay.
We hold ourselves accountable on this one.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Nico Collins, big old game. He's surpassed 117 receiving yards in 3 out of 4 games this year. He is legit. He is a absolute dude. Wow.
I was watching them on Red Zone, and they stayed with that match for a few minutes, and it felt like they were in the red zone and he just got the ball thrown to him 5-6 times in a row until he got a touchdown. It was unbelievable. There's some good wide receivers, and obviously Diggs is there. I know Dell's injured at the minute, but Collins is just head and shoulders in terms of volume.
With Collins, I mean, I think he could end the season as the wide receiver one, which would be interesting. And I think if that happens, we're seriously going to have to look next off season, because I remember when I made the CD Lamb MVP pick last year, there was a whole thesis that I went on about, you know, the certain things that you have to check off for an absolute superstar breakout wide receiver season, and CeeDee Lamb checked him off for the previous year. And we didn't get into it too much this year, and obviously Collins wasn't any of it. We were high on Collins, but he wasn't one of our MVP picks. But Collins was that one wide receiver this offseason who sort of checked most of those boxes. So maybe if this hits again, we need to seriously have a look at that framework that I looked at and apply it to another guy next year, because this may be 2 out of 2 hits for that, ever since we've been looking at that framework. Because, yeah, Collins is, he's blowing up at the minute. So, Justin Fields, you're bound to have one of these games for Justin Fields, even though the team did lose, which is ironic. The game that he absolutely, you know, he's back to the fantasy darling Justin Fields. The Steelers don't actually get anything from that. This next one, just... DeAndre Swift. The performance of a lifetime on what I'm sure is a million waiver wires out there. What's going on there? Al, he's your baby.
I disowned DeAndre Swift last week. I don't know. It was weird. It was strange. I mean, what do you want to compare DeAndre Swift to? A bit like A bit like a really good, really fast player in FIFA 12 or 11, where it's a bit like there's not much nuance to it. We're not thinking about it too much. He's just quite athletic. He's pretty quick and he looks good. Don't think about it too much, though. It's a bit like that.
I mean,
I'm still keeping Roshan Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of stashing him. Because, I mean, who did they play in? The Rams?
The Rams
are pretty banged up all over the place. So,
would you advise people pick DeAndre Swift up if he was dropped? You have to.
If he was dropped, yes. Yeah. Don't go after
if
him.
If he's out there on waivers, like, you sort of have to, even though he's been bad. Baker Mayfield, another great game. John Love, 28 points, and that's with three interceptions. Would have had a crazy good game if that didn't happen. That went hand in hand with Jaden Reed being back up there. Really great points by Jaden Reed. And Dontavian Wicks as well. 13 targets for the second year player. Wicks is second year with Reed, am I right? I'm correct in that.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Nice to see you there. Alvin Kamara continues to just churn out fantasy points all the time, no matter how much you think he's not going to.
I think he was having a slow half as well, and then he still finishes with 20 points. You know, that seems like his floor at the minute.
Like 26 points or something. It's like, what are you doing?
There you go.
I remember watching it because I was against Alvin Kamara in our main league, and it's like, I was sat next to my girlfriend and I was just like, no, not him. Anyone score a touchdown but him. And obviously Alvin Kamara just waltzes straight in, almost walks in for a touchdown. This was near the end of the game and it was initially quite close in my matchup. And I was fuming because you just know, it's like this. You just know he's going to get a touchdown.
I mean, he is the offense really until Taysom Hill comes in.
Taysom Hill had two rushing touchdowns. Just give him another. Just give him another. Jaden Daniels, great game. Jordan Mason.
Go and watch the tape of Jaden Daniels as well, by the way. Go and watch the throws. Go and watch like the talk that he gets. He's so kind of agile. And he's got like such an amazing arm as well. I really don't even think we've began to touch the surface of what he can do as a rusher yet. What a player. QB1 on the season.
Yeah.
We had discussions in our group chat today, didn't we, about who we would have rest of season, him or Josh Allen. So that's how crazy that conversation has got already.
Yeah. Over 80% completion percentage, which is crazy. Jordan Mason, another nice game. Lamar Jackson, C.D. Lamb, Stroud, C.J. Stroud, good game. Evans, Jordan Addison, a rushing and a receiving touchdown on his first game back. Two touchdowns as well for Chase Brown, Josh Downs, and Brian Thomas Jr. with the best game of his young career at the minute. But not all players did well this week. A couple of Bills to start this off. Josh Allen, James Cook, just couldn't get anything going against the Ravens at all, really. I'm sort of a bit baffled by the James Cook thing. I think, like, even if you're down, you still have James Cook out there, use him in the receiving game. He's you know, one of your most explosive offensive players. So I didn't really get the usage on that. But, yeah, Josh Allen couldn't really rescue a fantasy day for himself, which he usually tries to. Obviously, you might get these weeks. I'm not reading anything into this. No.
I mean, I didn't, well, not to this extreme, but I did sort of think just with the wide receiver core that they wouldn't have been as good as they were in those first three games.
Yeah.
Like they were pretty much, you know, putting up points of fun. But I think a lot of that as well was the defense was propping up because the defense has scored big in the last few games. I think Keon Coleman could be good, but obviously it's not exploded like some of the rookies. And then what else is there? Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel, you know, journeyman kind of guys.
Yeah.
Kincaid hasn't, you know, really grasped the mantle. So it has been James Cook that's benefited the most. So I suppose, you know, they had to come back down a little bit just based on the weapons they've got, or a lack of weapons, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to run through the rest of the guys quite quick. because spoilers, I mean spoilers, it's the title of the episode. We're getting into the Chiguzzi soon, lads, so don't want to spoil too many of them. Breece Hall, though, grim game for all round, really, in the Jets-Broncos game. Travis Etienne, another disappointing one. Kyler Murray. Devin Singletary, I thought you could run all over these Cowboys. Maybe not. Garrett Wilson, disappointing. Brandon Ayuk, I don't know what's going on there. Brock Bowers, as you mentioned before, Shabbos. A couple of down weeks for Bowers. Interesting, really, because he looked so good those first couple of weeks. All about the Goose train, Kyle Pitts and Mark Andrews. Didn't want to... Listen, Mark Andrews didn't want Kyle Pitts to be alone. So he went and got a goose himself as well. Mark Andrews is done. it's over.
I would bench him. I would give it one more week. And if he gets you at like 0 points again, I would drop him and I would let someone else take the bet.
Isaiah Likely, another disappointing game. It's just sort of been that week one blow-up, really. You've not had anything since then. Quentin Johnston, back to being Quentin Johnston. Zay Flowers, poor game again, but, you know, they didn't really need the passing game. And then Roma Dunze followed his best game of his career with his worst game of his career. News, injuries. Rashi Rice. Tackled by his own quarterback. Nothing more you could say. It was a brutal hit. I think I messaged in our league chat because I have Rashi Rice in our main league. I'm obviously, you know, I'm heartbroken. I don't think it's actually fully processed at the minute. I'm going to wake up tomorrow in a pool of sweat, not knowing what to do. But yeah, I think I messaged and said, that's disgraceful. Whoever did that incredibly dangerous low hit on Rashi Rice needs to be ejected immediately. Oh, wait. ... Mahomes, Mahomes, gif of him, you know, doing the gun show. I don't know what he was playing at in there. Obviously he's trying to make a play for the ball because he just threw an interception, but my god, that was dumb.
I don't think there's anything more to add. No, that was ridiculous.
There's no reason why Rashi Rice, season should be maybe over, but feared to have torn his ACL, as of right now, Tuesday, the 1st of October, in the evening, the team has yet to confirm that. They say it might be next week before they know. So I'm just a bit intrigued here, because you'd think by now they'd know if he tore his ACL. So keep monitoring that.
Look, you'd think by now they'd have known how bad Christian McCaffrey's Achilles tendon was. But no. He's got another.
Well, yeah. Obviously, the Rice injury is devastating. But just keep your eye on that. Maybe he's... I really don't know at this point. So just keep hold of him for now, I'd say. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey has tendonitis in both legs. What's going on here? The team kept it under wraps. This is crazy. This is... Yeah, so we don't know when Christian McCaffrey's going to be back.
Yeah, we knew something was amiss though when
we did.
Our man on the inside, Chris, diagnosed it. Said, "No, he shouldn't be out for this." That's when the Schefters of the world started picking up on
sweating.
It. So
they started sweating. I know. What do you do here? I don't really. The saying November, but I don't know how you can say November. Like he could be missing an arm for all we know.
I think they might. They've got to just target the actual playoffs to get him back for, right?
Yeah,
even say it. Yeah, I think you're right.
If I was a McCaffrey fantasy owner, I would not be planning to have him back this season.
Back, not had him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. True.
Andy Richardson, day-to-day with an oblique injury and abdominal strains. He went out of that game the Colts look pretty good, so don't rush back, mate. Jonathan Taylor also left that game with a high ankle sprain. He's going to miss time. They say they're not putting him on IR, but when even when they say stuff like that, it's still not what you want to hear, really. Still not what you want to hear. And the sort of the exact same with Christian Watson for the Packers. High ankle sprain, not put on IR, but those guys are going to miss at least this week, I would think.
Breaking news. Well, Alex here. I'm just recording the introduction for this week's podcast, and I've got some breaking news. Devontae Adams has informed the Raiders that he prefers to be traded. Now, the Raiders bit in no man's land at the minute. Obviously, Adams missed this past week. How injured he was, not too sure. But yeah, he wants to leave, probably looking for that move to the Chiefs, I'm guessing, probably looking for that ring. Obviously, he's not happy at the Reds where he is. What they're going to get for Adams at this moment, I don't know, particularly when they've not got much to bargain with, what with him not even wanting to be there. But yeah, we didn't get to talk about it on the pod, obviously, but teams that he could go to, I'm thinking particularly the Chiefs. I know my team, the Cowboys, could potentially do with help at that position, so I'm not going to rule out the Cowboys, even though we know Jerry doesn't like spending that money. Who else have we got? The Bills, I suppose. The Bills, after the offense kind of took a massive dump on the field this week, they could do with some veteran help in that position, certainly. Basically, there's a lot of contenders that really need Devontae Adams' help. We all know what's going to happen, though. He's going to go to the Jets. It's going to be boring. That's what's going to happen. However, a lot of fantasy implications potentially, because he's hopefully going to go to a good offense, unless the Panthers swoop in for him. We'll see.
But we like being accountable on this show, don't we, Al?
Yep. Pretty clean week from Yulu. Geno Smith was a hit with the 21.6 points. Bucky Irving and Jackson Smith and Jigba gave you nice games. And Freiermuth was a hit at the tight end. Mini streak going on, Lou. Mini streak going on. Sharps missed on Derek Carr, unfortunately. Braylon Allen, 5.6, but because we were playing the game there, it's not a miss.
Oh, God, Breece Hall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Deontay Johnson was a nice pick from you, 21.3 fantasy points. And Cole Kmet again, we're playing that game, 6.4.
Unfortunately, Al, as much as I'd like to take that hit on Deontay Johnson, I did a late pivot and went for Andre Yosivas.
Of course, sorry.
Who was a bust. So as much as I like to play the game, I like to do it in a straightforward manner. And so unfortunately...
Since
now.
Of course.
So yeah.
I still had Deontay Johnson in my my document here. Oh, so, well, thanks for
it's
that.
It's a gentleman's game, so thank you for the honesty, Sharples.
Yeah,
it is a gentleman's game.
No problem.
That's very good of you. Unfortunately for me and my quarterback, they sent Daniel Jones out there. I explicitly ordered Dan Jones. So they sent Daniel Jones out there and he got 9.5 on the Thursday. Horrible. Tajay Spears last night, 11.9. Keep an eye on this player. Might be someone that you can stash or kind of look to play later in the year when he establishes more of a role there. Tucker Kraft, complete dart throw at the tight end, ended up 17.3. Nice pick. And don't look now, lads, but this is 4-for-4 on wide receivers for me. Pay attention to my wide receiver pick later on then, people, because we're on a pretty unprecedented hot streak right now. Mike Evans, 23.4 fantasy points. And that was my worst pick of the year, so I do apologise for that.
Cheers, Al. Lads, get your trunks on. It's time for us to deck a dip in the jacuzzi of concern. The jacuzzi of concern, Al, you came up with this segment a couple of years ago when I wasn't on the show to approve, but it's a great one. temperature checks, essentially, on some players. I've got some stats about some players here, and I want you two to tell me how hot this jacuzzi is, how hot the jacuzzi of concern is. I've done it in a bit of an order this time. I've gone from, we're going to start with the lowest drafted player, and we're going to get all the way down to the higher drafted players. So, jacuzzi of concern, Brandon Ayuk. Drafted 35th overall, wide receiver 16. He's currently the wide receiver 58, averaging 7.4 PPR fantasy points a game. He hasn't surpassed 50 or more receiving yards yet, and that's with some of his teammates and target competition missing time. I'll be honest, I forgot Brandon Ayuk was playing for a little bit. Jacuzzi of concern on Ayuk, Al.
I think he's lukewarm. It was always going to be a slow start. You know, there was a whole contract thing over training camp. Did he hold out? Did he miss some of training camp?
All of it, yeah.
Well, there we go. It's going to be a slow start for Ayuk. He's going to get kind of worked back into the system regardless of whether he was there last year or not. I think in 2 weeks' time, we're talking about a completely different player, kind of stats-wise, outlook-wise. So not sure. Too concerned. I would trade for him if I could buy super low on Brandon Ayuk right now.
Chapels, do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I do. I think it's mainly down to, like Al said, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty going into it. Didn't do the training camp. You know, Kittle's already been down twice. Samuel's going to go down at some point. I think Ayuk will become that wide receiver one for them. And then, you know, if McCaffrey stays out, then, yeah, even Mark, I think it'll be fine.
Nice. I like to hear that. Bit of optimism. Bit of optimism right away in the jacuzzi of concern. It's lukewarm. It's quite nice. Ran a bit of an all right time. Quarterback next. Not one that you might be thinking of, though. I think, you know, the volatile nature of Anthony Richardson was baked into all of our rankings of him. So that too easy, Anthony Richardson. I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes. Drafted 31st overall this year. Quarterback 2. Now, I sort of want to... It's easy right now to think, oh, Patrick Mahomes, yeah, but there's always been better options than him at quarterback. You know, he's the guy who's great in real life, but not for fantasy. I sort of want to debunk that because Mahomes' last six fantasy finishes, number one in 2018, then eight, then four, then four, then one again, and then eight last year, but he was still averaging over 18 points per game. He's been great for fantasy football. That being said, what is also true is Patrick Mahomes' last game with over 20 fantasy points was week 12 last season. This year, he's the quarterback 14, averaging 14.4 points per game. He's thrown at least one pick in every game, and he's just lost his number one wide receiver. Jacuzzi of concern on Patrick Mahomes, Sharples.
Yeah, scalding. I mean, you're right. I mean, I've been playing for what, 4 years. I don't think I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes go later than quarterback 3, and that's usually, you know, that can be as early as the second round. You've seen him go as well. He's always getting drafted high, and I just think this Kansas City Chiefs offense is just, for the last couple of years, has just been evolving into a different kind of team than what it was, you know, when he first started. And because he's so good in real life, and because he keeps winning Super Bowls, I think it just masks the fact that, yeah, fantasy, it's a different game, and he's just not as good. You don't have the big players. Obviously, Tyreek Hill going was a big loss for that. Kelsey's aging. Isaiah Pacheco has become a bigger part of the team. I know he's out at the minute, but even with him out, they're not passing that much more. It's just a more balanced offense, I would say, and also they just seem to do enough to get the win. They don't, you know, their eyes are always on the Super Bowl. They're not going to exert themselves. They just do enough to win, and unfortunately, that's not what you want for fantasy football. And also, the defense is good. Defense has been really good for the past couple of years. Again, not what you want. So, I mean, I drafted him in one league, which I wasn't as bothered about. I had a bit more fun with it. I'm 0-4, and I'm currently trying to pick up Justin Fields off the waiver wire because I just need something to try and resuscitate the team. So I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Al, are you burning your skin off like Alex Sharples is in the scalding jacuzzi?
I think I am, to be fair, yeah. I'm targeting the Mahomes owner in our league, our main league, because I've got Jaden Daniels on my bench, and I know that that person needs a quarterback with upside, so I'm targeting the Mahomes owner. I just want to say, Luke, you acted like you debunked this idea that Mahomes hasn't been good for fantasy, whereas quarterback 8 finish is a pretty big disparity, considering that in real life, you would have to put up a pretty strong argument to convince people that anyone other than Mahomes was the best player in the league. So I think quarterback 8 is pretty low down for a player whose real life kind of reputation and stature is so unanimously recognised as the best player in the league and this kind of historically good. So I think quarterback 8 finish is disappointing for Mahomes last year. I kind of think people were a bit foolish for drafting him so highly this year. Nowhere did they know that the Chiefs were going to have these injuries on offense, of course. But that just adds to why I'm really, really concerned.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I agree. And the problem with Mahomes is he's a guy who you have to draft at his ceiling. And he, well, by the looks of this, he's hit that ceiling definitely twice, almost another two times, and not at all. Two times. We'll move on to a tight end. Could be many, many tight ends to pick for this. I could have gone with Mark Andrews, but then again, if I did, we'd have to change the name of this segment from the Jacuzzi of Concern to the Volcano of Instant Death. So I've gone with a tight end whose arrow may be potentially pointing up due to injuries on his team, and he's a direct link to the quarterback we just spoke about, Travis Kelce, drafted 22nd overall this year, the tight end 1. He's currently the tight end 12, averaging 7.7 PPR points per game. But this past week, went quite a ways to bumping that up. He just saw highs in targets, catches, yards, and fantasy points versus the Chargers. Jacuzzi of concern on Travis Kelce, Al?
It's not as hot as Mahomes, but I'm certainly uncomfortable in here. It is too hot. I'm finding myself kind of when I'm hearing people over the past couple of days saying that, you know, it's sorted, it's fine, Kelce's back. I'm finding myself kind of with a smug know-it-all grin, thinking, you idiots. You idiots. I'm not buying that he's back from this one kind of game because he's looked really old and really slow throughout this season. And I think this offense needs more than Travis Kelce to get going. So in leagues where I have Travis Kelce, I'm probably trying to sell off this game. But yeah, I'm too hot in here.
Sherples, are you too hot in here?
No, I think I'm quite a comfortable temperature on him. I think, yeah, I mean, if your expectation of him is to be the Travis Kelce of 2-3 years ago, then yeah, obviously you're in the volcano of instant death alongside Mark Andrews. But I think with the injury to Rashee Rice now, you're not going to get those highs anymore. But I think it'll probably get you between 10, 12 points most weeks. And I think in this current landscape of tight ends that we're in, where they're all god-awful, to have Travis Kelce putting up 12 points every week when you probably drafted him in the fourth round this year, probably not the worst thing in the world. So he's a different kind of Kelce, but I think with the extra workload, he'll be a playable tight end. So yeah, if I was a Kelce owner, I think I'd be slotting him back in there and thinking, yeah, he's going to be okay.
Okay, somewhere in between there then. So I guess pleasant, but getting a little bit warm. Getting a little bit warm in the jacuzzi. We'll jump over to our first running back. It's Travis Etienne. Drafted 16th overall, as the running back 7. He's currently the running back 24, averaging 11.6 points per game, on one of, if not the worst team in the league, and with a backfield teammate in Tank Bigsby, who's been more efficient than him in half the games they played this season. Simply, Bigsby's been better in half the games. Jacuzzi of concern, gentlemen. Chappell, start us off.
Yeah, certainly hot. You know, the skin's getting a bit red. I'm eyeing up that cold tap. I think the game scripts have gone against him because the offense just isn't good enough to get ahead. So we're not getting as much rushing work. And also, Trevor Lawrence just hasn't been as good. And so the receiving work suffering as well, which used to be his bread and butter, really. You know, he could always prop himself up on 5 or 6 receptions a game. And I don't see too much signs of the Jaguars' offense improving. So I don't really see where his prospects improve. And like you said, Tank Bigsby finally looking good. I'd be very worried if I was an Etienne owner.
Al, are you as fidgety in this hot, hot jacuzzi as Sharples is?
I'm almost ready to get out. As an Etienne owner myself, I'm almost ready to get out. I mean, I don't have any confidence that he's going to meet his projection every week. This offense looks terrible. He looks like he's barely on the field. There was a moment at the weekend where he was just stood on the sideline with his helmet off behind everyone, and you're thinking, what on earth is going on? I mean, fortunately, the underlying numbers aren't as bad as what kind of the eye test is, or what you think you're seeing, or what even your fantasy scores are saying. The underlying numbers still say that Etienne's getting a lot of usage in this backfield. It is worrying that Bigsby has played better than him. Very concerned. You can't do anything with him other than probably play him, because he's probably your, at best, he's your running back 2, but he's probably your running back 1. So, yeah.
Yeah. We'll go to another wide receiver. Garrett Wilson. Drafted 13th overall, wide receiver 7. Currently the wide receiver 35, averaging 10.9 PPR points per game. Season high of just 60 receiving yards, which was in week 1. Trailing behind Alan Lazard in yards and touchdowns and, of course, fantasy points. Jacuzzi of concern on Garrett Wilson. Al?
Probably about as hot as the ETM one. I just don't know whether in real life Garrett Wilson's as good as people have been telling me they are for 2 years. I'm pretty concerned.
Sharples, are you reaching for that cold tap?
Yeah, I'm sweating. Obviously had that, you know, big week 1, 20 something points, but since then it seems like Lazard is the more favoured target. I know he's got history with Rodgers, but yeah, him and Wilson just don't seem to be clicking, and this Jets team is very inconsistent. You don't know what team you're getting each week. I mean, 10-9 with versus the Broncos. I mean, it's just never going to be a situation where you're scoring a lot of fantasy points. I still think he's got the potential. I still think if they just need a bit more work together, if they played together last season, I think he'd be doing a lot better now. Obviously, I mean, he was going midway through the second. If you pick Garrett Wilson, I think almost ready to jump out of that jacuzzi, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. This is a scalding hot jacuzzi at first touch, really. Like, I do not care about him getting the main coverage by every team. At a certain point, true alpha number one wide receivers rise above that, and Wilson hasn't. And now on to our final player that we're going to talk about. You might have whittled it down, because obviously I was going from higher and higher and higher drafted players. It's Bijan Robinson, drafted 4th overall, running back 2. He's currently the running back 16, averaging 14.2 PPR points per game. He's got one total touchdown. He's tied with backfield teammate Tyler Algier in red zone carries, which is just six. He has minus one rushing yards in the red zone in the first month of the season. And this time last year, four games played, he was the running back six, averaging 17.6 points per game. Jacuzzi of concern on Bijan Robinson here, Sharples.
See, I'm sorry, I don't want to anti-climax it, but I think this is just a little bit more palatable than Garrett Wilson, purely because we saw Bijan Robinson last year. We know what he can do. Like, I know he is an unbelievable running back. Same can't be said about Garrett Wilson. I just think it's been a slow start. You know, you picked him, third, fourth overall. I do get it. I'm not a Bijan Robinson owner, so that may be why I'm a little bit more calmer on the matter. But we've seen it. We know he can do it. He just, you know, in the words of Patches O'Houlihan, he just needs to take the RB1 job and just hump it into submission. And I do think he will do that by the end of the season. I think he just needs to get a grasp on it, settle into the new offense, and then he'll have one game where he explodes, I think. And then I think we'll go from there. It's just my opinion. I see Al shaking his head, but that might be at the Blackburn Rovers game.
It was at the Blackburn Rovers game. I agree that I think a lot of this is down to the offense being really new and kind of not clicking yet. In that sense, I don't think he's going to be, what did you say, the wide receiver 16?
The running back 16,
running back 16. I don't think he's going to finish the running back 16. I am concerned with this idea, a bit like Garrett Wilson, that Bijan Robinson came into the league drafted out of Texas. This kind of next phenom running back is the next McCaffrey. I am concerned that he's not going to be that. I think the closest thing to that is probably Breece Hall, and he's been fairly disappointing so far this year.
And that's the issue, like you touched on. He's been drafted. Like, that's what he is going to be.
So in that sense, I'm concerned because I don't know if he is going to end up being that. But I am putting a lot on the fact that this offense is new. So I think it's hot, but it's not unbearable. I quite like it actually because it's driving the people. It's driving the people with no guts. With no, with nothing down in the plums, it's driving all those people out of the jacuzzi, and I'm sitting in here.
Yeah, the small children and the Germans who got up at 6 a.m. to put the towels on the sun loungers are out, and we're just kicking back.
We're kicking back. Like I said, well, I'm not fully convinced that this isn't going to scold me for life, but at the minute, I'm willing to risk it.
Nice towels, lads. There you go. You can jump out of the jacuzzi with concern. And let's look ahead to next week. Week 5 in the National Football League. We'll start it like we always like to, Al.
Mm-hmm. That's, of course, with...
Forget about it!
The players that are locked into your lineup at each position. We're not going to mention them in any detail, but do not worry about it. Put them in. Don't even think about it. At the quarterback position, Jaden Daniels, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jordan Love.
Forget about it!
Yeah, that's what we're going with. At the running back position, let's do Kyren Williams, Alvin Kamara, Derek Henry, Aaron Jones, Jordan Mason, Breece Hall, Johnny T's in the...
Forget about it!
No Bijan, you see. No Bijan in the... Wide receiver position, Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb, Nico Collins, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Marvin Harrison Jr., Chris Godwin. Got to be Jaden Reed at the minute.
Forget about it.
I'm fascinated by this next segment.
There is no next segment.
Oh, no.
There is no next section.
Again?
Okay, come back, mate, come back.
Okay, I hope we're docking the forget about it man's pay.
We're not docking it, because I'll say to him, come back, mate, come back. So we'll have George Kittle averaging 14 points a game, looking pretty nice. Dallas Goddard's on bye this week. That's all you're having, though. That's all you're having.
Forget about it.
Okay, there we go. As you alluded to, Al, four teams on bye this week: Philadelphia Eagles, Tennessee Titans, Los Angeles Chargers, and the Detroit Lions. Let's start with quarterback, Chirples.
I'm going for Baker Mayfield, projected 16.8 points. Looked unbelievable last week, passing for 347 yards, two touchdowns. I even snuck in for a cheeky rushing touchdown as well. Did most of his damage in the first half. Had around about 23 points at halftime and finished on 29 because didn't really need to do too much after that. Eagles defense has been hideous this year, although they did stifle the Saints in week 3. But they couldn't stop Mayfield. Really liked how aggressive he was throwing. He threw it 47 times. So, you know, if you're a Evans or Godwin owner, you think good times are going to keep on rolling. Looked really confident. Falcons do have a couple of dynamic safeties, Jesse Bates and Justin Simmons. But I think Baker looked too good not to pick. And coming off the back of a 29-point week, I think 16.8 is a little bit stingy by the people over at ESPN, Field Yates. I'm going for Baker Mayfield.
Nice. I am going to go for CJ Stroud, projected 17.5 at home against the Bills. I think it's time to see if Stroud is just a matchup quarterback for fantasy football. The Bills just got trounced, so they're due to bounce back. The old trounce and bounce. They're due to bounce back offensively. So the Texans are going to have to bring it on offense as well, and the way they do that is through the passing game. Nico Collins is the dude. Stephon Diggs' revenge game. I don't think there's ever been a more literal revenge game. I feel it in Stephon Diggs' bones that he wants to do some damage in this one. Tank Dell should be back from injury due to get involved as well, and Stroud. He blew up the league last year. He was meant to be the next great quarterback. I don't think we've quite seen that this year. We had got glimmers last week. It was the best game of the year by Stroud and the Texans. Big, hard-fought home victory, divisional win. Need to ride that momentum. One of the highest over-unders of the week, 47.5. The Bills are favoured by just 1 point, which I was quite shocked by. So they think this game's going to be quite even. Two explosive offences. I'm betting on Stroud turning up in a big way again in this one, Al.
Yeah, I'm going Caleb Williams, projected 13.3 versus Carolina. It has been frustrating so far. We've seen flashes, but not the guy we were promised based on the draft season, certainly. Bit missold what this Bears team was going to be, though. I'm going to put it down to that. You know, I don't think the offense is as good, particularly the offensive line, as what people were saying before the season, and I don't like this coaching staff. But they did win at the weekend, somehow. And they come around the corner and approach this new weekend with the best sight imaginable. That's the Carolina Panthers. They're still awful, but luckily, and good for fantasy, they can score points against you. The Panthers are allowing 18.2 fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, which in itself would make this pick a hit if Williams just hit that fantasy point kind of line there. But this past week, there was two decent wide receiver performances as well from Chase and T. Higgins against the Panthers. So Williams has got a few wide receivers who he could be getting involved, which means more points for him. I think it's going to be a sneaky good game, as a lot of Panthers games are going to be this year. The Bears defense is really good, but I think Canales and this offense with Dalton at the helm can probably score points and keep games kind of interesting. So hopefully it's kind of another week in the books for Williams, another kind of week to get comfortable with the offense and in the NFL. So 13.3, I think we can beat that, yeah.
Nice. Let's keep it traditional. Let's go running back, Sharples.
I've gone for Josh Jacobs, projected 14.8 points. I was torn between taking a Packers receiver or running back because at this point the Rams are the kind of team that you want to target with your offensive players. But I went with Jacobs. It's been a slow start, particularly given the volume that he's had. Still not got a rushing touchdown yet, despite tallying over 70 carries in his first four games. But with that kind of volume, you'd have to think it's only a matter of time. Only had the 9 last week against the Vikings, but that was an unfavourable game script. They were trailing throughout, like we discussed. But I would hope that the Packers will get up early and stay up against the shaky Rams team. And if that's the case, then should lead to a lot of red zone trips, plenty of run plays, and hopefully the elusive touchdown that turns Jacobs from an okay play into a hit.
Nice. I am going with Kenneth Walker. Projected 17.4 points against the Giants. Sometimes when I watch Ken Walker, I feel like I'm watching the best pure runner in the league, genuinely. In the last two games he's played, in the two games he played this season, he's averaging 26 points a game. He faces a Giants team this week that's given up 118 rushing yards per game. Seahawks are favoured by almost a touchdown in this one. But even with the more favourable game script suggested by that line, I feel like Walker right now, he's matchup proof regardless. Like, you've just got to play him. Because we've just seen Ken Walker run for 6.6 yards per carry and 3 touchdowns on one of the best rushing defenses in the league, in the Detroit Lions, and he got 33.6 fantasy points. That 33.6 is almost as much as the Lions' defense had given up in the previous 3 games, fantasy points-wise, altogether. So you can make the argument that he's touchdown dependent, but I think as long as this Seattle team keeps the offense high flying, as it has been, scoring opportunities are going to be there for Walker, and I see no reason why that won't be the case this week at home against the Giants. Al?
I'm going to go Najee Harris, projected 13.4 against Dallas. A very, very simple one here. It's a really great matchup. Dallas are getting beaten up on the ground at the minute. 27 fantasy points per game they're giving up to opposing running backs. Almost 150 rushing yards per game. You've got Jaylen Warren and Cordarrelle Patterson both banged up, meaning that 17 attempts that Najee Harris is averaging so far this season, that's going to be his absolute floor in this game. However you feel about Harris season-long, this weekend is vital. If you like Harris season-long, you're going to want to trade for him before this weekend. If you don't like Harris season-long, you're going to want to wait till after this weekend and then trade him away from your team, because I think this is going to be a big, big weekend for Najee Harris.
Nice. Let's go wide receiver, Sharples.
Well, following on from the third-degree burns I received from Garrett Wilson in the Jacuzzi of Concern, I'm back in Alan Lazard, projected 7.8 points. Against the Vikings. 7.8. Yeah, I thought that was a little bit low.
Of course you did.
Well, you know. Not that it's been working out for me this season. Biggest slump of my career. So
yeah.
Maybe I do need to change my ways. Anyway, yeah, following the game script with this one, I'll try into. The Vikings absolutely torched Green Bay early on, which obviously led to then big fantasy points for, like we discussed, Jordan Love, Jaden Reed. And I can't help but feel that they'll do the same to the Jets. So I think you'll end up seeing a lot of throws from Rodgers. And like we discussed, although Garrett Wilson is the wide receiver one, it doesn't quite look like him and Rodgers have clicked. Last couple of games, I think he's been favouring Lazard. And currently Lazard is the wide receiver 18 compared to Wilson's wide receiver 38, although that is skewed a little bit by Lazard's big old week in week one. But yeah, in this matchup, I think he's got a relatively safe floor. Don't expect him to bust. Think in the right circumstances, he can be a hit. The only issue is it is a London game, and all rhyme and reason does seem to go out the window on those games. So who knows, could end up with minus 20. But he could also end up with 200 points. So yeah, Alan Lazard. Could get 200 points, you had it here first.
There we go. Alan Lazard, 200 point game coming up. I'm going to go with Michael Pittman Jr., projected 13.3. He came to life last week, partly due to Joe Flacco coming in, you know, much more archetypal pocket passer. But, you know, Pittman, he saw with Flacco in, a lot more underneath intermediate targets along with yards after catch, which is his bread and butter, really. But to be fair to Anthony Richardson, he did get Pittman involved early when he was playing. A couple of big catches totaling 60 yards with Richardson under centre. So, yeah, with Flacco in, it was good to see Pittman being finally utilised, though. to his strengths. Good to see him finally top 100 yards in a game as well. It's unclear at the moment who's going to be starting, whether it's Flacco or Richardson. Obviously, I am hoping Flacco for Pittman's sake, but regardless, I think the matchup is favourable enough, whatever the case, because they're facing the Jaguars, who've been awful on defence across the board, but specifically yards after catch. They've given up the most yards after catch than anyone in the league, which, again, Pittman's bread and butter, really. So I think the Colts shouldn't have any issues moving the ball, no matter who's throwing it in this game. I think Pittman has another decent one. Al?
I am going for Amari Cooper, projected 12.7 at Washington. At this point, I should just be able to say the name of a receiver, and that should be justification, as I've mentioned. It's an unprecedented hot streak at the moment. However, this matchup is juicy. Washington ranked dead last versus opposing wide receivers. They're giving up 233 yards per game through the air. 10 touchdowns so far on the season. 39.1 fantasy points. Cooper is the dude on this Cleveland team. Had a bit of a slow start this season because of the quarterback play, but bad quarterback play doesn't mean that wide receivers can't have spike weeks. We saw a big spike week already from Cooper in week 3. So if you ask me, this 12.7... it's ripe to be obliterated by Cooper, who is still, I think, one of the wide receivers at the kind of top echelon of the league. So, I mean, I can't believe this projection's so low. This is a hit.
Nice. Let's round it out nice and quick with tight end shuffles.
Yeah, I've gone for Cade Otton, projected 7.8 points. And my analysis is that Cade Otton is a tight end that plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Beautiful analysis. True as well. I'm going to go Mike Gesicki, projected 7.2 against the Ravens. Didn't shake out for him this past week. It's going to be the case on this team with the competition for targets. But prior to last week, he was going steady, averaging 9 points a game. I'm seeing last week as a bit of an anomaly. I'm betting that he's more involved in this one, especially against Baltimore, who have actually been one of the weaker teams against tight ends so far this year. Al?
Well, we've got a tight end battle on our hands, Lou.
No.
Because you want Gesicki, I want it all. With Eric Hall Jr., the other Cincinnati Bengals. I'll be honest with you, did not really realise who else were the tight ends for Cincinnati when I picked this.
Nice.
Tight ends are horrible. At this point, for any tight end to have the ball thrown his way, that's what I'm looking for, essentially. All has 4 targets for 4 receptions in his last 3 games. Okay, he's kind of down the depth chart, but maybe he's got a bit of a role on this team. Maybe he's the guy that catches 4 receptions for 20 yards every week. That's what I'm hoping for.
Great. Well, can't wait to see how that shakes out. Sharples, round us out with your game tiers this week, week 5.
Yeah, unfortunately, not as high in the games as I was last week. Much more bottom heavy. Got 2 in the grey. I've gone for the Texans, the Bills, and the 49ers against the Cardinals. Into the good, I've got another 2, Falcons, Buccaneers, Bengals, Ravens.
Yeah.
Into the meh, we've got Vikings, Jets, Jaguars, Colts, Seahawks, Giants, Steelers, Cowboys, Rams, Packers, and the Chiefs against the Saints.
Okay.
And then into the bad, got the Patriots, Dolphins, the Bears against the Panthers, the Commanders against the Browns, and early contender for toilet bowl of the season, Raiders Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Bears Panthers game could be a bit more entertaining than you're letting on to. But I mean, there's some games like the Patriots, Dolphins, Broncos, Raiders that I'm turning the television off when they come on Red Zone.
Where was the foggy London Town game? The team
game. Parkins,
that was
Vikings-Jets.
Vikings-Jets. I had that in a meh. I just think it will be too one-sided to be truly interesting.
Nice. Mm. Of course. That'll do us, guys. Thank you for listening. Give us a shout in the pocketcorrespondent@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram. Al does some really good graphics. If you don't want to listen to us, if you don't want to hear our voices, Al formats these great graphics of our projection beaters. You can just bang, 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 and you've got all the information that you need on there. In the Poet Across the Pond on Instagram. That'll do us. Enjoy week 5. Thanks for taking a dip, lads.
No problem.
Thank you. Lovely.
And we'll catch you next week. Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye-bye.